There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 12th of August, 2014. And we're broadcasting live from a horse ranch, from a horse barn in northeastern part of Oklahoma, situated in the midwestern part of the United States of America. It is exactly 2 minutes and 29 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. Unfortunately, tonight we have to start the show off with just a little bit of a disappointing, sad note. It seems that, unfortunately, the state of Florida will not be able to hear the show tonight. We're not exactly sure why, but it's unfortunate. But anybody who lives within the borders of the state of Florida in the United States of America, they just won't be able to hear the show tonight. And if they do hear the show, well, just let us know. All right. I'll let you figure out what exactly that means. We'll just leave it like that. Over the history of this radio show, we have beat, insulted, hammered, slammed, disrespected, disgruntled, shortchanged, minimized, I don't know what other things I could say, polite words, organized religion and structures and buildings. Tonight, we're going to really take another giant leap or step forward in this broadcast. Because tonight we're going to talk about one word and one word only. Saved. What does saved mean? What does it mean to be saved? Exactly what does being saved have to do with salvation? Because quite frankly, the word saved is overused, extremely misused, misrepresented. And I think, honestly, is very disappointing to millions around the globe. For hundreds, if not over 1,000 years, the word saved has been disappointing. A letdown of catastrophic proportions to some. Possibly even you. Because the word saved in any other context other than something to do with Christ. Let's look at this real quickly. If you are in a serious car crash and the fire department uses that hydraulic jaws of life and pries you out of the vehicle before the vehicle catches fire and explodes, you would say that you had been saved. If you're having a heart attack and the emergency paramedics show up and they give you drugs and they zap you with electricity, people would say you almost died, but they saved you. A child doesn't know how to swim and falls into a swimming pool and somebody jumps in and saves them. Maybe you thought you were going to die and something occurred and the illness or the disease went away and you feel like your life has been saved. You were asleep in your house and your house caught fire. And somebody came in and woke you up and escorted you through the smoke, the flames, the heat. And everybody says, I can't believe you didn't die in that house fire. And you say, I would have died, but my next door neighbor saved my life. When anyone of any age from any country or walk of life, whenever something drastic, dramatic has occurred to save them, it's obvious to a stranger. There's a difference in their attitude, a difference in their walk. There's something different about them. Now, we've all had a family or friend that had some type of catastrophic or dramatic incident happen, and we're unaware of it. And when we see them, we go, what happened? What's wrong? And they go, well, what do you mean? And say, well, you don't look like yourself. Just tell me, what's wrong? Well, I almost died in a car crash, but I was saved by the emergency personnel. Oh my gosh, are you okay? Yeah, I'm lucky to be alive. They saved your life. I know. Whoever has been through any type of life threatening situation, they look at themselves, their family and friends, the world, how they spend their time, how they treat other people, but more importantly, how they view themselves and how they treat themselves and how they want to be seen by others, because they have been saved. Their life was saved. Why is it then? Something as majestic and with no limits, no boundaries, all-encompassing as Christ and being saved doesn't seem to have as much note to it. Not as much dramatics. Matter of fact, it's easy to not even notice it. And how many are listening to this broadcast tonight that are saved, praise God, but yet, come on now, seriously, what is really different about you? Probably very little at all. because on tonight's show, this is where we're going. Because unanswered prayers, no even inkling of the grace that is surrounding you, and you wonder where it is, why you can't connect. Possibly it's because, are you truly saved in the eyes of God? Jim?
Yeah, I like it.
Dramatic music for a dramatic opening.
Right. I could almost use some right now just thinking about some of the old songs. And the reason I'm going to go to the old songs is because sometimes you go back a little bit. It's where people weren't as distracted. And very interestingly, I think of this song. It says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart." Think of some of those words that I just gave you there. Just like the old saints. I mean, life was difficult. People put great value in the decisions that they made. And making a decision for Christ was something that somebody wanted with all their heart. And they literally desired greater than anything in their life to have Jesus in their life. And when they accepted Christ, because we're not talking about experiences with God that you have to work for. We're talking about this wonderful and amazing gift that God gives us through Jesus. And it's such an amazing gift that it changes. And the word tonight, along with saved, is change. They're synonymous. They really work together. You really can't have the word saved without change. Because everything about being saved is about being changed and knowing it. Now, different people have different changes in their life. Some may be more dramatic. Some may be less dramatic. But the one thing that's for sure is everyone that's saved knows that they're saved and they recognize the change. Now, that's something that I would say, I'll throw this statement out, let you comment, but BJ, I would say that was a whole lot more back in the day when I was growing up as a little kid. That was more what was common than I see today.
Well, there are many groups of people that belong to different types of organizations that worship.
Right.
Eskimos, American Indians, Aborigines in the outback of Australia, some tribes of natives in the Amazon and South America, Jehovah Witness, Mormons, can't think of them right, Mennonites and the Amish.
Right.
There are many religious communities where they are not opposed to welcoming, quote unquote, an outsider, but they warn you that being saved is going to be a complete transformation of your reality. The food that you eat, when you eat, your job, how you speak, the clothes that you wear, where you live, how you worship, when you worship, what is acceptable behavior and what is not acceptable behavior. I'm not saying that these groups have anything that is more special or more accurate than any other group. But the point being is that one thing that they do have over most modern day Christian / organized religions is they have an acknowledgement to be saved means a complete change in reality.
Right.
That once you truly believe you're saved, there is virtually nothing about who you are or how you conduct yourself is the way it was before
right.
you weren't saved.
Right.
And some of these organizations and communities, they even give these people new names. You've been saved. This is your saved name. So you've got, and like I'm saying, I'm not saying they're any better, but I'm saying at least they acknowledge the fact that being quote unquote saved
means a giant change.
Right. So now you're talking about, in one sense, you're talking about the environment that you're in.
Because and the way you see yourself and the way you see the world and right. the way you conduct yourself.
Right. So, you know, the fact that an environment, when I was growing up and we came to know Jesus as Savior, the whole environment in my Baptist church was about change. Now, it didn't mean everybody was perfect in what they did or how they did what they did, but what was stressed about the salvation was there was a change coming into your life. Things were going to be different. You would know that God was in your heart. Well, today I see so much of the environments of where we're bringing people to know Jesus being more like being added to a ledger, being added to a group, being included in this building is more the emphasis than it is actually a life-changing experience.
What I don't like is religious leaders, ministers, rabbis, pastors, shamans, voodoo masters, whatever you guys call yourselves, evangelists, whatever the title that someone gives themselves. What I don't like is that organized religion is conforming to society.
Right.
There's no more, you know, I remember people used to say, well, of course church pews are made out of wood and they're not comfortable. You're not supposed to be comfortable. You're supposed to pay attention. I've remember people talking about, and I've seen where people would say, if you don't have a Bible, we've got Bibles.
Right.
Turn the book to this page.
Right.
But now it's all computers and screens. And if there's technical difficulties, the services come to a grinding halt. It's gotten to a point where in Oklahoma, there's an organization where there isn't anybody.
Right.
It's like going to a movie theater.
Yeah.
You go in, you sit down, you shut up, you pass the plate, and you watch a screen, and then you say, there you go, amen, we're done, we're saved. And that's because it's good business. It's good business to conform and shape yourself to what the demand of the people are at the time. Where does that apply to Scripture?
Right, right. You know, I was at Live Oak, Florida, at Melody Christian Center this weekend.
And did you tell them that they wouldn't be able to hear the show in Florida?
No, but that's what that all is all about there at the beginning, just messing with you. Pastor Darren and Laura Baldwin and then the different families that were a part of the meeting this weekend. It was really, really good. It was one of the meetings that I could say where the people were listening intently and were with me as much or more as anywhere that I've been. So really, really take my hats off to all of you and trust that some of you are listening. In fact, I was able to meet personally a couple of our regular listeners on the show that came to visit us. So one couple was from Panama City and the other was from, I think, the Jacksonville area. But when I was preaching, it got really quiet when I started talking about the word Christian. And I said, you know, the broad stroke of Christianity could be that someone would say, well, at least I'm not Buddhist, so I must be Christian. Or, you know, years and years ago, guys would go into war riding a horse with a coat of mail on that had a cross on it, and so they were of the Christian army. But that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Christianity. And when we were talking about this, I made mention of how Paul in the book of Acts says that the believers were called Christians in Acts 11. So there's 11 chapters. You have to ask yourself the question, what were they before they were called Christians? Just the subject alone, because it's such a well-accepted word that everyone uses in a real broad stroke without really identifying it. When I began to talk about that, it got real quiet. And I share that to say this word saved is another one of those words that when you begin to really talk about it and begin to narrow it down and show what it's really supposed to mean and how it's really supposed to be presented, it takes on a different light from what most people think.
if somebody can listen in Florida, if they can hear us, do we need to talk louder?
No.
Hear us in Florida.
I don't know if that'll get it or not.
Send us an email. Mail.
Yeah.
Did that sound pretty good?
A little bit of a well type sound.
Folks, if you'd like to contact the show tonight, and please do, the email to the show is the name of the show. How about that? The Abiding Presence at the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. That's the Abiding Presence at gmail.com. No capital letters, no spaces, just all one word. The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. If you'd like to send a text to the show, the way you text the show is the first word that you have to type is the word grace. And if you don't know how to spell grace, just don't listen to the show. Do some laundry, rinse out a few things, watch some television. But, you know, honestly, if you can't spell the word grace, then after you type the word grace, then finish out your comment or question. And then when you press the send button, it's only five numbers, 69302. So the first word that you type in your text is the word grace, and then you send it to 69302. All this information on how to contact the show tonight with your question or comment, or even if you just want to say hello, is on the radio show's website, theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. We've got emails. We got an email here that says, feel free to share this email and our names on the show. We were at the services at Melody Church in Live Oak, Florida.
Yeah.
While Jim was there over the weekend, we will email specifics regarding the visit. We are breathing grace and seeing God everywhere. And then it says, BJ, we are mowing the pasture at our farm, so we will listen to tonight's broadcast after it airs tonight. John and Stacy Skierski and Rachel. See, these are the people with the little
right.
with the little farm, the acreage with
yep.
the cows, the
yep.
ducks, the goats, the sheep. Well, see, they can't see. They just admitted they can't hear the show right now, and they're in Florida. I was right.
Yeah, yeah. They were really, really nice. And, in fact, Rachel, the daughter, boy, she's really coming along. She's really getting this. It's really nice to see.
Let's see. We got another email that just came in. It says, the broadcast is coming through in Florida just fine.
That's good.
Yeah. They used big, bold letters.
Good. They're making a point.
Yeah, but how do we know? They could be in Chicago, Illinois.
And just using Florida as a, well.
Well, we won't know. Until they say something specific about Florida.
Okay.
Like, don't they grow a lot of sweet potatoes in Florida?
Wow.
What do they
That's
grow in Florida?
I don't know. Well, they got oranges.
Peanuts?
You know.
Peanuts?
Oranges.
Sweet potatoes?
Orange grows. Orange and grapefruits.
Do they grow oranges in Florida?
Yes, big time.
I thought it was sweet potatoes and peanuts.
Peanuts is Georgia.
Close enough.
Well, it is kind of close, but yeah, oranges and grapefruits is big time.
All right, we got another email here. It says, Jim and BJ, greetings from Boomerang Church in Albemarle.
Yeah, that's Brian Wright. I was there last week.
Albemarle?
Albemarle.
Albemarle, North Carolina.
Right.
Jim, your visit here was nothing less than astounding. At the clutter of religion is being eradicated from our minds. We're not making God real to us. We're not making God real to us. We're opening our eyes to just how big and real God has always been. I can't thank you enough for calling us out on the issue of faith. My question is concerning those who are believing for a healing and eventually do get healed, but only after a period of time. I cannot recall this in Scripture, except for the leper Jesus commanded to go wash in the Jordan. But this would only have been a short while. What can you say to this phenomenon?
Well, I'm going to use the word that they use, which is believing. And I think this is a word that gets misrepresented. Someone said something to me about that this weekend, and this is what I told them. I said, if you're going to believe God, then close the door and make it done. In other words, finish it. It's over. Now it's done. Move on. But if you're going to be believing for something to happen, I said you sound to me like you're in a revolving door. You're just going around in circles. Let it be that it's finished and it's over.
I find that there's a pretty good sized amount of people who pray and pray and pray, and then finally they're healed, and I'll tell you why it's finally, mm-hmm. why it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the beginning, they're still filling prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to doctor's appointments. They're still Googling miracle cures from Africa.
Right. Buying into their problem.
And they're still going someplace to get a bunch of people to help them and support them. And,
right.
And they're answering ads for discounted medications on TV commercials. And they're praying and praying and praying. And finally what happens is they give up.
Mm-hmm.
They're so tired of being sick. They're so tired of being tired. They're so frustrated with just literally getting up every morning and going to bed every night knowing that today was bad, tomorrow will be bad, and so will the next day because they're sick and they're hurt, that they literally finally give up.
Hmm.
And when they finally give up, they literally just say, I'm done. If you're going to fix me, fix me. Either that or just kill me. I'm done. I'm so sick and tired of doctors and pills. I just give up.
Hmm.
And as soon as they finally give up, which means they get out of their own way.
Yeah, that's good.
And they stop using excuses in the flesh and the world.
Right.
All of a sudden, they're healed. Well, it isn't all of a sudden they're healed. They've always been healed. There was never anything wrong to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They bought into it. But as soon as they forgot about it and ignored it and dismissed it, it was gone. Most people don't need a healing. What they need is a course correction.
Yeah, yeah.
I like
that.
They don't need to be healed from something. They need to ignore something. Because if you're focused on a cure, if you're focused on a healing, if you're concentrating on just making it to another day, where is there room in any of those thoughts or feelings to even acknowledge that Christ is real?
Kind of goes back to some things we said before about the answer not being the answer, but actually the question or working the problem is actually the answer. It's where you make your connection in the problem or question.
And then this brings in tonight's topic. Well, if you're saved,
right,
and all prayers are answered, why is my prayer not being answered? Because if there is a God, and I believe in God, and I believe in grace, and I believe in the help of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, well then, I wonder if I am saved. Because if you're saved, you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saved because I'm starting to feel that I really am needing saving. I'm not saved yet. I'm needing saving. I need some saving to happen.
Well, that's
you like that?
Well, this is actually the part that I am wanting to enter into right now with this conversation about saved. Is please just listen carefully to tonight's broadcast, because this is a part of religion. It's a part of history that we've been a part of in different denominations and different circles. You know, the whole idea of salvation has been more, I believe I'm saved because the Bible says I'm saved. Now, that's not bad, but let's go a step further. What about if you're saved and you have that salvation experience with God, which is actually beginning a relationship? Where are people saying that I know that I'm saved because I actually have a relationship with God? Instead of, I know I'm saved because the Bible said if I call upon the name of the Lord, I should be saved. In other words, what's the possibility that salvation in the Bible was meeting somebody and experiencing God, beginning a relationship that changed your life? Because think about it. When you have relationships, and I'm not talking about acquaintances, And maybe that's the rub. Maybe the rub is most people in religious connotation have come to God as an acquaintance, to meet one time, and then their life is no longer changed. It's just they supposedly meet him, they go through something at a church or at a building or at a worship service, and they say something, and they go to a back room, and they get a book, and they go home. But where is the change in their life? Do they have to be taught to have that change? Do they have to work on having that change? Or, like we've presented at the very top of the show, if you were saved from an accident, if you were drowning and somebody saved you, you didn't have to learn how to get saved. You didn't have to work into being saved. You just were saved. And I mean, literally, your life is changed. There's something that's alive in you, and that salvation is extremely tangible because it was so real. I remember one of my friends by the name of Buzzy Sutherland. He went on to be with the Lord, but I remember him talking about when he got saved and just talking about, you know, his life was a life where, you know, he was a drunkard and he would get in fights all the time, and everybody knew him as, you know, just a real rough guy in the part of town where he was. And he was an owner of a grocery store, and he tried to bless people all he could, but he was pretty rough around the edges. And he said, when I got saved, he said, I could have threaded a sewing machine running, just meaning that he had the shakes from being an alcoholic. And he said he got tired of his life as the way it was. He called on God. And he said, literally, he felt God's presence come into his life. He said, eternal life came into my being, and literally, instantaneously, I was completely sober. I had all my wits about me, and he said, everything about my life was changed from that moment. Now, I'm not trying to say the only way you can know you're saved is if you have a really bad past. Because I'm going to give you an example here. I was saved when I was 4 years of age. Now, what kind of bad past did I have? I didn't. You could even say I didn't have a past. But I promise you that I could put my hand on a stack of Bibles and swear to the fact that the moment I gave my heart to Jesus on the counter where my mom led me in a prayer to let Jesus come into my life, that very moment I was consciously aware that God just came in and saved my life. It was not just words. I knew something happened in my life. Now I go back to those words of the old hymns. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life. Joy, change, something radical, a relationship that starts. BJ, this is the part that I'm 100% in on, whereas we're talking about this, because this is what doesn't seem to be emphasized. And for so many people, and this is a sad saying, it's lacking.
Well, yeah, because when I just, and I bring it up all the time because it just is, it's a very, I can't think of anything better to say it to. People will not stand for anything that is wrong. If they go to a tire store to get a tire fixed and that tire goes flat, they want to get an attorney and sue them.
Right.
If somebody goes to a restaurant and they ordered scrambled eggs and they're sunny side up, they throw a fit. They want what they ordered. Everywhere in everybody's day-to-day life, they make demands and they expect their demands to be met. Exactly. I want what I paid for. I want what you've represented. I want what, and I expect what you told me you can provide. Across the board, whether it's a flat tire or breakfast or the color of the new carpet, people will go toe-to-toe, and it's World War III to get what they want. But for some reason, there isn't this same expectation and accountability
right. When
it comes to grace.
Yeah.
People will go somewhere, they'll listen to someone, they'll believe in someone, and they'll practice a certain type of religious worship and lifestyle where there's no expectation of results.
Right. Right.
It's always about the future. It's always about having to do more. It's always about how, you know, we don't always understand God's plan. Jesus wouldn't put anything in my life that he didn't know I could stand.
Right. Well, you know, back in the book of Acts, there's a story about Peter being in jail. And Peter and Silas, they began to sing and sang praises. And while they were in jail, there was a whole group of people, kind of like a home Bible study, that were meeting together in prayer for Peter. And the power of God shook the jail like an earthquake. And all the stocks and bonds came off. And Peter and Silas, they didn't leave. The jailer was ready to kill himself. And Peter and Silas said, "Don't do that. We're here." And it talks about how in this story here that they got out of jail. And Peter goes back to the house. In fact, an angel escorted him out of the jail. The gates of the city opened of their own accord. Peter goes to the house where the home Bible study is meeting and where people are praying. Now, one of the attendants comes to the door, and Peter knocks on it, and without opening the door, the attendant says, "Who's there?" And Peter said, "It's me, it's Peter." So the attendant runs back into the people of the house, and the attendant says, "Peter's at the door." And the people inside said, "Well, it can't be Peter, he's in jail, it must be his angel." Now, I said all of this to set you up by saying, what's the possibility in the early times? Fresh from the way that Jesus helped everybody mentally to accept the way salvation should be, that everybody expected there to be wonderful experiences with God. It wasn't a big thing for Peter's angel to be at the door. Peter had an angel escort him. The gates of the temple opened of their own accord. And here the people are praying because they have a conviction, because things are more real than maybe in our day. Maybe we've just not crossed that threshold, BJ, today, where things have been distorted, where people's salvation experience is little more than just shaking hands with somebody that, excuse me, that prays a prayer with you.
Did you go golfing?
No.
Really? Because we got a message here. It says, Ranger, Jim, and BJ, great show tonight. We really enjoyed spending 2 days with Jim last week in North Carolina. BJ, we thought about you as we walked over 7,000 yards of prime pasture land in perfect weather. The grass was healthy and well managed.
Yeah, well, you had to clarify. Last week I went golfing. I didn't go this weekend.
Well, I knew what he was talking about, so I already sent a reply email.
Oh, did you?
It says, maybe someday I will be able to drive my one-ton 4x4 Ford all over the fairways and greens after a few inches of rain.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That'll be something.
This is Tim. Tim Yokley in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And that's how
we
responded
really,
to that.
We had a really good time. The weather was great.
Let's see. We got some more emails here to get to. Sue out in Tracy, California. Her mom and dad live in Morgan Hill, California. Her sister and brother-in-law live up in Minnesota.
That's right. It's no longer Livermore, is it?
Nope. She doesn't live in Livermore. She lives in Tracy. Well, you know, Livermore, California has local statutes on, livestock and the way you conduct yourself within the city limits.
Okay.
So she had to move to Tracy, California, that's more of a horse town and lets people kind of let their hair down and, you know.
Makes sense.
Well, Sue's kind of a... I think Sue's kind of a rebel.
Oh, really? You get that?
I just get the feeling from her emails that, you know, that Sue is
Well, I mean, she comes from those...
I mean, we have no proof.
She comes from those biker dudes, doesn't she?
Her mom and dad are in their 60s and 70s. They drive Harleys, and they're in some senior citizen outlaw biker gang.
Yeah.
You really think their daughter's going to be a nun?
That makes sense now.
No. I mean, I think Sue, I'm just guessing, I bet Sue understands the judicial process.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That might be why she's in Tracy, why she's not in Livermore anymore. But she says, I'm listening in Tracy, California, and I haven't even thought about dinner yet because I had a late lunch. What did I have for lunch? Chicken, avocado, and watermelon.
Oh, well, that's almost good enough for dinner, too.
No, it's not. It says, looking forward to the show. Hello to my family in Minnesota and California.
Right.
Chicken, avocado, and watermelon.
That sounds fine to me.
Do you know what we had for dinner today? You know, we don't call it lunch, call it dinner. You know what we had for dinner today at 12 noon at the ranch?
No idea.
Really?
No.
We had chili hot dog, chili dogs.
Oh.
Chili dogs, barbecued potato chips, lemonade, and fudgesicles.
Huh.
Now there's a meal.
I guess. I didn't have anything to eat at lunch.
Well.
It's my fault.
Nobody cares. That we got another email here.
I'm glad you're laughing.
Let's see here. It says, without going into detail as to how or why, I was in a home fellowship gathering this morning. It was held outside in a beautiful, humidity-free 75-degree day. One could almost say it was close to paradise as one could imagine. The opening prayer included a prompt for all to be led by the Holy Spirit. Then the singing began by whomever was led by the HS to shout out a hymnal.
The Holy... Huh?
I don't know. You know what? This is very confusing. This is from Keisha. Keisha says hi.
Okay, good, good, good.
I don't know. This is... It's kind of a long email, and I'm getting confused about what she's saying, and so we'll move on. It says, hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Awesome show. Thank you. Absolute amazing truth at last. Just like to say hi to everyone around the world. Well, there you go. It says, to be hungry moment by moment and wanting to see grace moving in every area of your life is truly awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
If only people would have their own awesome relationship with our Lord God, what would our world be like? Question mark. P.S. Listen to your... Wednesday nights at the library, they are amazing. Thank you so much. And says, good. God bless you. This is from Suzanne.
Okay.
And then we've got one more here. It says, okay, this is from a guy named Joseph, and it's a really long email. And basically, to sum it up, he's listening to you on YouTube.
Right.
And listening to the radio show that it's made of, it's really upset the apple cart in his life. And he's starting to see that a lot of the apples he was hauling around were a distraction.
Okay.
And that the show is really making strides in him.
Good, good. Thanks, Joseph.
Yeah, and he says, I'm in the process of listening to the archives sessions, getting up to speed. Thank you for being faithful.
Good.
So he's good. Yeah. But, I mean, some of these emails are, like, huge.
And remember I shared with you tonight that, and I'm not going to mention their name, but we've got a real nice praise report for the radio show.
What's a praise report?
Well, it just means something good. That
sounds really bad.
No, not bad at all. It's just really good that we've got some people that are wanting to underwrite the radio show, the monthly cost that I normally take out of my budget. And so they're going to be sending, and they did already, sent a check, and they're going to be sending a monthly check. So that's really nice.
It is. That's good for them.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's wonderful. And, you know, I mean, we've never asked for anything, never will.
Nope.
But when something like that happens, we just want to let everybody know that we're considering ourselves to be...
You know,
really fortunate. Thank you.
You know what my goal was is for someone to send a giant check, because remember I told you it would be really neat to get.
I did. I remember.
Remember what I wanted to do?
Yep.
Send
Bibles.
Send Bibles to everybody.
Yeah,
but not just Bibles, but
no. Were we talking about like a New King James Message Bible / something that was...
Well, I don't know. I went to a thumper store.
Uh-huh.
If people don't know what a thumper store, I grew up saying thumper store to... What are they called?
Just Bible bookstores.
Bible bookstores. Yeah, to me they were thumper stores where people, you know, thump the religion. I call them thumper stores. I went to a thumper store in Tulsa, and they had this book that it was the King James Version, and then you turned it over, and it was another real popular.
Was it Amplified, maybe?
Maybe, I don't know. Yep. But it was like two books in one.
Right, I like those.
And they said it was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I mean, it was easy to read. It wasn't real fine print like you need a magnifying glass.
Right.
But I just thought it'd be neat to like...
Yeah, be able to donate those to people and just give them to them. As
well,
a gift. So,
you know, somebody sent a, you know, sent an address with a name.
Right.
We just throw one in the mail.
Right.
Because nobody else is doing that.
No, I think it'd be great.
No, they want you to send a $10, $25, $50, $100, $500 prayer request. Because they have teams standing by. Oh, I did figure something out. You know what a prayer team is?
What?
A prayer team is a room full of people in cubicles with headsets hooked to the internet to accept major credit cards and debit cards.
Well, they're supposed to be praying, too. I don't know how much that goes on or not. But
I think they're praying that people call and give them money.
and give over their credit card information.
I mean, I'm not being cynical or anything.
No.
But it's just kind of interesting that the guys point this stuff out to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I can find a lot of things I'd rather do with my time than sit in my living room at 2 o'clock in the morning watching these people pontificate on satellite TV, learning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, saved. We have not one text message tonight. We haven't received one text message, not one. Not a hello, not the show is bad, not the show is good. No comments about being saved or saved. And you know what? We haven't received one email either.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to read something
See,
here.
See, I knew it. There's nobody listening in Florida. Florida is just out of the loop tonight. Florida has no internet or something. But I find it very interesting that we haven't had one single thing. I mean, we're 47 minutes into the show.
Well, let me read something here from about Paul and what salvation meant to him. Maybe that'll help you to get an idea of what we're talking about. You know, Paul was a very religious person and one of the greatest Pharisees of his day. And, of course, it'd be like saying, you know, that you were a professor at a school, that you had multiple degrees, and you were, you know, throwing those degrees around. It says here in verse 7 in the Message Bible of Philippians 3, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. You see, that just helps you to get a little clue. There's more here to show you, but look at what happens. He has a relationship with Christ, and it automatically sheds light. It's like a huge flashlight on your life, and you begin to make an immediate decision. Oh, my goodness, since I've been saved, it literally shows how much of my life was wrong. And he goes on to say, yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. I've dumped it all in the trash so I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. And then this last part says this. I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, and be a partner in his suffering and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any other way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. Now that shows you somebody that's had a life-altering experience.
Well, and look at the comments on there and how drastic and dramatic things have changed.
Correct.
the feelings, the way they look at things.
Yeah, I like that. The feelings and emotions have changed. It's not just you did something to be religious. The reason why you did something is because your feelings and emotions have changed, right?
Yeah, and the reason I bring up this being saved and so taking such a hard line with it is because I think it would be nice if people could figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There just has to be someone who listens to this show on a regular basis that likes the show and hears the testimonies, the emails, listens to me, listens to you, listens to my dog bark, and they listen to the show, but yet they're still wanting. And they keep listening because they eventually think or hope probably
right.
that they'll get to experience it firsthand.
Right.
And it just they keep listening and they keep listening and they keep learning and but yet there just seems to be the X factor. There just seems to be almost like a carrot on a stick dangled in front of them.
Yeah.
And they just don't have it for themselves.
Right.
And I think maybe what they need to do is say, well, wait a minute. What does being saved really mean?
Uh-huh.
What proof do I have that I have been saved?
Yeah, isn't it interesting that people that have not entered into the more religious game, the modern religious game, that when they got saved on their own, I constantly hear the testimonies, and they're all the same, even though they're all still individual. And the testimonies are this. When I got saved, I really didn't know anything, but I would just get quiet at night, and God would come into my room. I could feel His presence on me, and I literally would begin to talk to Him, and I would write sometimes pages after page of things that God would say to me. And I still have those journals. So what seems to be, you know, synonymous here with different people that I've talked to, before they got introduced to modern religion, salvation to them was an amazing experience with God. They weren't taught it. They didn't have to be taught it. That's what happened when they invited the Lord to be a part of their life, is they got an experience with a person. Now, I talked to you about this, BJ, before, and I'll just mention this because you'll understand this. But I talked to that person 2 weeks ago, 2 weekends ago in Crawfordsville, Indiana, when I was there, and she's a lovely person that has been saved. But before she was practicing witchcraft. And she commented to me that when people come to want witchcraft or want some type of worship of negative energy, she said very quickly they'll have experiences. And I asked her about that, and she said, well, you know, all I can say is that what I've learned by being, you know, in that darkness is that darkness wants to put a hook into you right away and then reel you in. And they'll do it with experiencing some type of satanic type of, if you could call it, anointing or presence. Well, what's really interesting is people that haven't come through modern religion, when they come to God, they also have wonderful experiences of God. Instead of hatred and fear, it's filled with love and wonderful experiences of joy and peace. In other words, if the modern religion seems to set the stage for you having Christ, but it's really only on paper,
right?
Then why would anybody think to have an experience if you're hanging around that influence? Am I making sense with that?
It is. Now, the listeners aren't, but you're kind of aware of my life. I'm kind of well-traveled when it comes to people.
Right.
Not the world, but when it comes to people,
right,
I'm pretty well traveled. And what's real interesting is that I've ran across witches who were upset because the people in their coven weren't committed.
Mm-hmm.
Incantations and spells and getting together to light candles, burn incense, and worship pentagrams and stuff.
Right.
It's just other things seem to take priority.
Okay.
Little League, soccer, overtime at work. I can't come and do spells and incantations because the holidays are coming up and I need my carpets cleaned.
Right.
So they were mad that people wanted to be witches. They believed in witchcraft, but they just didn't commit. They weren't committed.
Right.
I know some people that love vampires. And they've gone to the extent of going to a dentist and having fangs, you know, installed in
their
teeth. Yeah,
so crazy. Yeah.
And they get mad because people will show up with, like, little kid fangs from Toys R Us.
Plastic things.
Little plastic fangs. And they think,
oh, gosh.
You know, if you really believe in vampirism and you want to be a vampire, you have to be committed.
Right.
You can't just go to Toys R Us and get right. Halloween fangs.
Yeah, you got
to
pay the big bucks and get
exactly.
them the implants.
And then I've ran across people who are into voodoo.
Uh-huh.
And they get mad because they say, well, yeah, people want to make zombies, but I can't believe this. They had an opportunity to bring a dog back into life and turn this dog into a zombie, but Dancing with Stars Final was on. So apparently they'd rather watch Dancing the Stars than turn a dog into a zombie. I just can't deal with these people. They're not committed. They're not taking voodoo seriously.
Uh-huh.
Well, There's a point to this, that as a culture, as a civilization,
yeah.
not just the USA or Canada or England, but for the most part, the overwhelming majority of people in the world say they belong.
Right.
They say they're committed. They say it's important to them. But when you really look at it,
uh-huh.
it isn't.
Right.
Now, take what I'm saying and go to a quiet place by yourself and say, and really do a self-assessment and say, right. am I saved? What about me shows I'm saved?
Right.
Because if I don't think I'm saved, if other people don't think I'm saved, if I don't have any tangible proof I'm saved, I may not be saved. So now, how can I see the grace around me? How can I enjoy the grace around me? How can I have a conversation with the guys? How can I be with the guys? How am I supposed to think about my life being joyful? How am I supposed to enjoy Scripture if I'm not even connected to Scripture?
Right.
Am I saved?
Right.
Do I even know what being saved is?
Right. You know, I'm going to back up what you're saying, because when Jesus came upon a crowd of people and a father said, you know, your disciples tried to cast out the devil out of my son, but they couldn't do it. The words that Jesus said in the Message Bible are this: what a generation. I'm going to stop right there because I want you to see, you know, BJ's talking about the modern generation that we're living in. People are just not being very serious. Well, this is what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. Then what's the possibility it's way worse today? He said, what a generation. No sense of God, no focus to your lives. Well, stop right there and think for a second. If we are a proper generation, what are we supposed to have? A sense of God and focus to our lives. Later, the disciples said, how come we couldn't cast the devil out? And Jesus said, because you're not yet taking God seriously. Well, this sounds exactly like what you just got through saying, BJ. And the point being, no sense of God, no focus to your lives. Remember, we discussed the word focus a long time ago. That focus isn't concentration. People think that it is. Go ahead and focus. No, focus is maximum clarity. It's like when you don't have things in focus and you want to take a picture, you then begin to bring it into focus where there's clarity. I like to say it this way. The best of all focus is as though you're living your life in a 360-degree window. But the shades are all pulled. And the more focus you have, the more of the window and the more of your life you begin to see. So if you had total focus, there would be no curtain at all on your life. And you could turn 360 degrees around and find God everywhere. Well, this is what Jesus seems to be saying here. People have no sense of God. Did he expect them to have a sense of God? Yes. They had no focus of God. Did he expect them to have a focus of God? And the answer is yes. And when the disciples said, how come it didn't work? He said, because you're not yet taking God seriously.
You know how important Genesis is. How I always bring up Genesis. How Genesis is how Genesis is literally ignored,
right,
and just taken at face value,
right,
where only the tip of a very large iceberg is ever acknowledged.
Okay,
if you look at the relationship between Adam and Eve and the serpent and Christ. What did he take away from them? They weren't saved any longer. There was no salvation. They were left to their own accord to conduct themselves as they wish and have all kinds of dramas and day-to-day responsibilities. In other words, their day-to-day existence and the trials and tribulations and the way their life would be led was unsaved. Their salvation, the taking away of their salvation was the punishment. And so what you have to ask yourself is, are you living a life before the apple or after the apple?
And it was their choice.
What is similar? In other words, before the apple, they have all kinds of grace.
Yeah.
They have no worries. They're literally walking, talking, and ordering takeout Chinese food with Jesus.
Right.
With Christ. After the apple tree, not so much.
No.
They're severed. They're, and their punishment is what? Painful childbirth. Work, ashes to ashes.
Right.
Taking the wheels off the serpent, making the man work hard, giving them to worry about clothing, to worry about this, to worry about that.
And themselves, to worry about themselves.
And worry about themselves. So look at Genesis.
Right.
What do you, the individual that's listening right now, what is a closer description, a more accurate description of you and the life you live? Is it before the apple tree or is it after the apple tree? Are you saved or possibly are you not? We got some emails.
Okay.
We got one here. It says, hola. Well, hola back to you. Just tuning in from Motown. What's Motown? Is that Detroit?
Detroit.
Okay. Hello. Just tuning in from Motown. The show is always good, fellas. Thanks. It says, I have a question hopefully later, but want to make sure I'm on topic. No, don't do that. We don't want your questions to be on topic. Because, well, are we ever on topic? I mean, honestly, Jim, are we ever on topic?
We come in and out.
That's really sad when the listeners are more on topic than we are. that's really bad. That's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, we got another one here. It says in either of your interactions with the guys, is it verbal or an internal interaction or both? And this is from Chris.
Well, it's both, and it can be anything at any time. I mean, this is where I almost wanted to talk about this a little bit, so it gives me a chance just to say, we people are trying to make God have to be real to their flesh first, but God is real to your spirit. That's where your communication is. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important for you to know that you're a spirit and for you to have such confidence in what we're talking about tonight in the relationship, because then God speaks into your heart, and it happens all day long. And it's a matter of how tuned in you are to listen as to what you're actually able to experience.
What are you What else? Now, you have to tell people, Jim, that I didn't make her do that.
No.
She just walked over and wanted to talk into my microphone. All right, well, Ranger, you get your way. That's my dog, Ranger. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to describe it this way. My relationship with the guys is like my relationship with my dog, Ranger. People will tell you, if you see the horseman, the dog's got to be close by. If you see the dog, the horseman's got to be close by. We're never really separated. We eat all of our meals at the same time. We sleep together. We play together. We work together. And sometimes she's so dirty that she hops in the shower with me. And I scrub her down when I'm done. And we both come out squeaky clean. The point being is that sometimes she's in the living room and I'm in the office. She might be sitting next to me in the truck, or she might go look out the passenger window. We have our separate lives, but yet there's always a connection, and there's never any question that we are communicating. Sometimes it's with looks, sometimes it's with barks and voice commands, sometimes it's with touch. But there's never any question in anybody's mind or our own minds, in my dog or myself, that we are connected.
Right.
That there is a bond. There is a definite connection-loving relationship between me and this chocolate Labrador retriever. Well, take out dog and just put in God. Because remember, dog spelled backwards.
Right.
Do you like that explanation?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we got one here. It says, where are we here? It says, tuned in a little late this evening. Shout out to Pastor Brian and the great folks at Boomerang Church. Is it really called Boomerang Church?
It is, yeah.
So no matter how far you go, you're going to end up right back there?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I'm just wondering. That's a boomerang.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just kidding. You know. Really enjoyed having Jim in North Carolina and look forward to a return trip next month. Are you going back next month?
I am.
Boomerang. See, I told you.
That's what it is.
You made fun of me.
Yep, going back.
You guys continue to help us see how we are doing life is mostly like how we are doing faith. Thanks for your weekly investment into the regular listeners. And this is from Breakfast Ed.
Oh, that's cool.
Did Breakfast Ed buy you breakfast?
He did. The first day he asked if he was going to Hardee's if I wanted something, and I told him I'd take a biscuit with egg and cheese biscuit.
So that's all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got.
He must have been mad at you, because what'd you have the first time?
Oh, well, that was a fancy breakfast.
Yeah, so you've
first
been
time we went.
You've been downgraded.
Well, but we went golfing that morning, so we were just getting something on the fly while we were going.
Yeah, okay, great. That explains it.
Yeah.
Golf is bad, and so is the food that you eat before you golf.
Yeah.
It says, sorry, BJ, my email was confusing, but the gist of the email was to say that at this home fellowship that I was at was just as pathetic as the places you describe when talking about the buildings. These people were focused to major in the minor of being free because they weren't established in a building and had no ministers, as if that was the most important thing in being a Christian. Yet they were missing grace and life with the Holy Spirit. All this to agree with y'all. You don't need to read this, but wanted to give you more clarity
as to what
I was trying to say.
I like that you did.
This is from Keisha.
Yeah, that's good, Keisha.
Okay, we got another one here. It says, Ed sent me an email when I talked about, I sent him an email.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm just, you know, every once in a while I say something that is kind of sarcastic.
Yeah?
I mean, nobody would know on the radio because I don't do that on the radio.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, random,
mm-hmm.
2-3 times a year top, I say something that's sarcastic.
Huh.
And okay. Since this is August, I haven't said anything sarcastic yet this year.
Wow.
Yeah, thought I'd just kind of...
I wonder what was going on the radio show when I wasn't here. Anything sarcastic?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I cleaned one of my rifles.
Okay.
Had popcorn, fresh popcorn.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Okay.
Got a few emails, got a few texts. We got one here. It says, "Hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Good show, Dennis and Muriel Mattson and their daughter, Taylor, listening in from Eau Claire, Wisconsin."
Oh, nice.
T-A-Y-L-A. Taylor is what I'm saying. T-A-Y-L-A.
Yeah,
Taylor.
Taylor.
See, I don't know how to pronounce that. So if I met their daughter, I'd probably just say, "Hey, how you doing, Bob?" Bob's easy to spell, B-O-B, Bob. Sounds the same both ways, up, down, sideways.
Right.
So hello to Dennis and Miro Mattson and their daughter, Bob.
Taylor.
All right, got another email here. It says, "Either of you get disconnected or feel dry or like you lost it, maybe a disappointment or an unsuccessful prayer or just a period without an experience? If so, please share." Jim?
Yeah, I mean, think about how we're trying to help people. So let me elaborate for just a second to say this. We're talking about the word save tonight. Now, we're not trying to make people sad to think, "Oh gosh, maybe I'm not saved," even though it's good to ask yourself those questions. But the real point is to say, if for some reason you find yourself realizing you're not really experiencing anything of God, no prayers answered, nothing, then it can be just what? It can be just a very simple choice to begin to experience Him when you realize God is there in His grace to help you to experience Him and have that become normal. Well, just as simple as it is to experience God, it's just as simple to step out. In other words, it's just as simple to make a choice that's of the flesh and of the world. The next thing you know, you're drowning in the flesh of the world. The only thing is the more closer you get to God, in my experience, the less farther away you go if you have a moment where you're not experiencing the Lord. In other words, it's always easier to get back and to stay back on a more regular basis the more real He becomes. But do I ever have a moment where I pulled away or I've been clouded with the flesh, the world, something that's just of how everybody else lives? Yeah, sure, there can be a moment. But I'm always quicker to come back and always less having those moments.
I don't want to keep anything from the listeners a secret. So somebody sent an email that said, "You guys are putting it out there weekly. Always fresh, never mailing it in. Me and my family's lives will never be the same because of the two of you giving a crap. You could both have just packed it in and kept all of this to yourselves." Hmm. And so I sent him one back that said, and this is what I said. I said, "Keeping it to myself, now there's an idea. Thanks for the tip."
Yeah, thanks for the tip. All right, guys, it's just going to be me from now on. BJ's gone. But I will play my favorite music.
You don't even know how to turn these machines on, let alone how to use them.
No, I don't.
I have been thinking about a bowling league.
Well, there you go.
I've always wanted to start a bowling league.
Okay.
Yep. BJ's
like
bowlers.
I like bowling.
I like to bowl, too.
My family likes bowling. Erin's a pretty good bowler.
Is she?
Yep.
It says, "Thank you both for allowing the listeners to participate in the show. You guys are very brave to allow an open dialogue like this on this subject. Thank you very, very much." Actually, I read a lot of things on the air that sound kind of strange because I just go over them. I don't really look at the emails before we read them on the air.
Uh-huh.
That's why I always tell people, if you don't want your name mentioned or you don't want it read on the air, that's really the first thing
sure.
that you need to say.
Right.
I don't believe in cherry-picking questions. I don't believe in ignoring challenging questions. Because then you lose the accuracy and genuineness of it. And if we did, if I didn't shut the show down, I certainly hope the guys would.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I want you to share the little story you made, because you didn't answer the question. I answered part of that question, but you didn't say anything. I want you to share the whole thing about, remember, it's a sunny day out. Boy, I saw the sun for a couple moments today. And how you would say, well, I actually had a couple clouds come by. Otherwise, I was in the sun all day long. Remember that? In relationship to how much of the time are you connected versus how it's possible that you weren't connected.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't answer your part.
Well, no, I just was going to let, I thought
oh,
you
Oh, you're just going to let me do it?
Well, no, I could. I mean, I don't know. What's it been now? 8 months, a year? I'm not disconnected anymore. We're not supposed to be disconnected to begin with, frankly. All jokes aside.
Right.
But
that is relationship.
Yeah. I mean, we were, and see, this goes to what I said before and after the apple tree. There was never any disconnect. There was never any lost moment of communication, either physically, emotionally, metaphorically, or spiritually in Genesis until the apple tree and the punishment. Then all bets were off and, you know. Don't let the door hit you on the way out kind of attitude.
Right.
I'm always connected and grace. See, here, this, it really isn't fair to ask this question, and I'll tell you why it's not a fair question to ask. Because it's kind of like asking one person, what is the best way to make a salad at a salad bar? At all you can eat buffet.
Gosh, there's a thousand different ways.
Because there's usually two or three different types of lettuce.
Sure.
Leafy greens. There's all kinds of different potato salads, macaroni salads. There's all different types of toppings from sunflower seeds to bacon bits to bread croutons.
Right.
And then there's usually five to six different types of salad dressing.
Right.
And then you might not even like salad. So you might just blow by the salad bar.
Yeah.
And it's like that with a relationship with God. There's mention of this in Scripture where it talks about some of you will be carpenters, some of you will be farmers, some of you will be teachers. And it's all, and in that Scripture, what that's meant to say is that everybody's measurement of grace is their own measurement. It's not a race. It isn't about how much grace you have. It's about whether you even acknowledge there is grace.
Yeah, whether you're doing something with it at all.
And this is never more evident than now, the times that we find ourselves in August of 2014. And I'm never without grace. I mean, grace is around me like the air is around me. It's as close as my Wranglers, my boots, and my socks, and my dog.
Right.
And how the guys communicate with me, sometimes they're literally sitting across the dinner table, and we're enjoying a meal.
Right.
Sometimes the guys are with me when I help a horse that's been lame, and after I've done working with it, that horse walks away, and it doesn't have any more pain, and everything is fine, and that horse stops for a moment, turns its head, and we make that eye-to-eye contact. That's nothing but grace.
Mm-hmm.
There, and so the amount of grace you have and what kind of acknowledgement you have is literally to each our own. It's like you, Jim. You've got three daughters.
Right.
You do different things with each daughter. You talk to each daughter differently, and you love each daughter the same. But the love that you show each daughter is custom built for that child.
Expressed differently.
Well, that's grace. That's us.
Right.
We're all God's children. We're all one in the family. But yet, that individual relationship is what you're supposed to have. And that's one of the major issues I have with organized religion.
Right.
Because that has to be excluded.
Yeah.
They can't allow people to have free will choice and to accelerate or to slow down or to achieve something, because then it shows that it is an individual relationship,
right,
and that grace is there for you. And whether you take a 5-gallon bucket of it or a tablespoon of it is not the point. It's not a competition. It's not to be judged. It's just that both people are enjoying grace.
Right. I'm going to read a passage.
Did I?
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm going to back that up with this passage in Luke 17. And BJ, you probably haven't heard this one before, but this is really good because...
Well, one of these days I'm going to read that book.
Yeah, I know. But this is really good because the whole emphasis of what I'm getting ready to read, it's just swimming in, do something with what you have, begin to experience God. Why are you standing around or why are you sitting on your hands? Okay, so Jesus said to the disciples, "It's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into a sea than if he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." The disciples said, "Increase our faith." Now think for just a moment. They're not saying they don't believe they have faith. In other words, they can't do what he's asking them to do. They just feel like what Jesus is asking them to do is beyond them. So they don't have confidence in what they do have. Now notice how the Lord responds. "If you have faith as of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Okay. In other words, Jesus goes to the smallest of measurements to show them if you at least had this much, you would be doing something with it. Obviously, they know they have that much. So he's not trying to make this point about how much you have. In other words, we're not in a contest who has more grace. The whole deal is you're in a relationship where you're using grace. Because the next thing that he says is this. He says here, "And which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat.' But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards then you can eat?' Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which I commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants, we have done what was our duty.'" In other words, the emphasis Jesus is saying is, use grace. Use your relationship. Enjoy your relationship. You see, when Jesus said, and the different, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all recorded things differently. Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded the same story about Jesus. And one said, "You have no faith." The other said, "Where is your faith?" The other said, "You have such little faith." Jesus does not put emphasis on as much as you think how much of something you have. I know some of you may be thinking, well, he said to the centurion and to the Syrophoenician woman, "Great is your faith." No, what he said is, look at how they use grace. I haven't seen people use grace like that, not even in Israel. And when he's talking, the disciples are talking, and Jesus is rebuking them. He's saying, how come you're not using it? Where is it? I gave it to you. Why are you not using it? Oh my goodness, you're using it in such a little way. Why don't you step it up and really use it? Everything that I've shared with you, it's all to bring one point, and that's everything BJ just shared. I just said it to you, but from Scripture. Use your grace. Don't compare yourself with someone else. It's an individual, wonderful relationship. If you're going to believe in anything, why not believe in your relationship?
We just got a text that says, "I'm enjoying the live broadcast. Love all the great comments."
Good.
See, I like it when people send texts and emails.
Yeah.
Okay, we got an email here that says, "Greetings to BJ, Jim, Ranger, and the listeners." It's hot in here, isn't it?
Well, you seem to be real hot. I mean, I'm okay. I'm next to this fan.
It says, "Saved or sozo in the Greek means."
Right.
Sozo. SODE'ZEO, Sodzu, Sodzu. It says to save, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction.
Right.
To save suffering from.
Right. It means healing, health, perseverance, safety. It means deliverance.
Okay, let's see. Got another email here. It says, I love the definition of focus that you gave. Focus is so imperative to enjoying the Holy Spirit and experiencing grace. I love it. Listening in High Springs, Steve Morgan. Where's High Springs? Is that in Florida?
That's about 45 minutes away from, yes, it's in Florida, 45 minutes away from Live Oak.
Did you see him?
There. Yeah, he came last night.
Oh, and then, we got one more email here. Okay, it says, okay, this is long, but it's what I want to know. It's really not that long. It says, my building has trained many of us in street evangelism. We go out and witness, etc., pray for people, etc. You know what he's talking about?
Yes.
Okay. I have come to believe that the requirement of Matthew 28 to go into the world seems to be the antithesis of dead, useless, fruitless building attendance, going in circles religion. I believe the ministry of the gospel needs to always be accompanied by signs and wonders or some demonstration, which is why I think your message of absoluteness is related to evangelism in a necessary way. We all need to walk in the spirit of the evangelist at ask times, right? Question mark. Am I on point? Question mark. Is absoluteness tied to witnessing and opposite dead religion? How or why not? Please elaborate.
Well, absoluteness is tied to a relationship with God, and it's also tied to answered prayers. So here's the deal. The real testimony of your own experiences with God is really what needs to be shared with the simple message of Jesus being the answer. So my whole thesis on witnessing to people and telling people about Jesus is really relating to them the wonderful experiences of what God's doing in your life. And I'm not just talking about, you know, something that where you just say God is just so wonderful, he's just blessed my life. No, tell them an experience of what God has done. And that's revealing that God is real. So that's my answer to that.
My answer is that I've started this new little test when I go to town.
Uh-huh.
And I've started using it on the ranch, and it's not being received real well from the people that work here.
Okay.
And that is more word for word, more matter of fact, more absoluteness.
Okay.
Like when somebody says, today, one of the cowgirls, I says, how long is it going to take you to do that? And she says, oh, about a minute. And I said, okay, ready, set, go. And then I went, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. She says, what are you doing? I says, I'm counting off seconds. 1,004, 1,005. She says, well, I really didn't mean a minute. I says, well, then why did you say it would take just a minute?
Very good.
And she says, oh. And she says, okay, I think it's going to take me about 5 to 6 minutes. And I went, 1,001, 1,002. And she just threw her hands up in the air and she started working. You know?
Right.
And then
right.
She says, okay, I'm done. You know?
Yeah.
How long was that? And I says, I don't know. And she goes, oh, I thought you were timing me. And then what the point being is,
yeah.
There's real no absoluteness in our lives.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, how, you know, we talk about being absolute. We talk about being right on. We talk about being just. But really, what is right on and just and absolute about anybody's life that's listening to this radio show? I mean, the speed limit says 45, but boy, God forbid if you get pulled over for 46 miles an hour.
Right.
What kind of a jerk would give me a ticket for going 46 and a 45? Doesn't he know that it's okay to be 4 or 5 miles over the speed limit?
Right.
Look what that says about our mentality in this country and other countries.
We're going to argue about being wrong.
Because there should be a gray area, grace.
Politicians do this all the time.
Well,
pass the buck.
I know your sign says that I've only got 30 days to return this, and I know that I have to have my receipt.
Right.
But it's only been 2 months, and how many times have you seen me in this store? Where else would I have bought this if not here?
Right.
Okay, let me get this straight. You've had it for 2 months, and you don't have your receipt. But yet, we're always looking for a plan B, an escape.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
And so if there's virtually nothing in the flesh and in the world that's absolute, what do we have as an example? What do we have as a guideline, as an example, a sampling of what absoluteness is? So the flip side to this is, what examples do we have of what it means to be saved? The only examples that we have to what it means to be saved is if you're pulled out of a burning building, you're rescued from sharks circling you in the ocean, you're falling off a cliff and somebody grabs your hand and pulls you to safety. We really don't have in our day-to-day lives what it really means to be saved, a new lease on life, that what we're doing is life-threatening. We don't have an example of what the 180-degree polar opposite of that life is.
Paul had to work real hard in order to try to get that across to people, because he was constantly battling a counterculture that was going back into just, you could say, doctrines and thoughts of men. So
I think that I wonder how Dennis and Muriel Mattson's daughter, you know, Bob, wonder how Bob, how she feels about this.
No.
We haven't heard from her.
That'd be good if she could write us. Why don't you tell her how to text again? Be good to get a text.
All right. The way you text, and there's plenty of time to text us, by the way, is the first word that you type is the word grace. G-R-A-C-E. You type the word grace. Then you type the rest of your comment or question. And then you send it to this 5-digit number, 69302. By the by, we don't keep records of text messages. We don't keep emails. You're not going to, we don't like give this information out, or you're not going to receive any, what would you call it? Junk mail or like.
Oh, yeah, no.
No. Matter of fact, when you send text messages, we don't even know who it is, because nothing shows up on the screen but your comment. No phone number, nothing. And well, obviously, I see the emails, but they get deleted after we read them on the show. So the way you send an email is the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence, at Gmail, the letter G, gmail.com. Yes.
So First John chapter 1:1-4, I'm going to read this in the Amplified, because John's giving us a real good example of salvation here. He says, "We are writing about the word of life in him who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our own eyes, whom we have gazed upon for ourselves and have touched with our own hands. And the life, an aspect of his being, was revealed, made manifest, demonstrated, and we saw as eyewitnesses and are testifying to you and declaring to you the life, the eternal life in him who already existed with the Father and who actually was made visible, was revealed to us as followers." You'll like this. "What we have seen and heard, we are also telling you so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah." Notice what John said. The distinguishing mark of a Christian is for you to be able to have experiences with Jesus and the Father over the grace of God, over this wonderful work that He's provided. And verse 4 says this, "And now we are writing these things to you so that your joy in seeing you included may be full and your joy may be complete." Look at what John's trying to say. He's saying, we have this amazing, wonderful, real, tangible relationship with God that changed our lives. It changed our direction, and it continues to this day to be what? Unconnected, or no longer disconnected.
Right.
And he said, and I'm writing these things to you and making it this plain so you'll be able to have the same experience, which is the distinguishing mark of a Christian, with the Father and with His Son. And it's such a joy to us, we know it's going to be a joy to you. Now, to me, that's saved.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. He's making it become real. It's not just, and this is what Paul fought with. Paul fought all the time. He had to fight against people who were making saved be a part of a group, going back into religion, going back into theology. And Paul had to struggle to do what? To get everybody jerked out of that so that they could stay in something that was real and vibrant and alive. And that's the switch on and switch off.
I think that I wonder where we are tonight. I wonder if we've got any people questioning whether they're saved.
I don't know. I would think that people are probably asking themselves, some are asking themselves maybe the bigger question, to what degree is what I call my salvation really working? Is it really alive? Do you remember what we said before the ranch? I wrote it down here. Saved equals a relationship, and this is what you said about relationship. Conversations with the guys, prayers answered, and recognizing grace everywhere.
Yep.
In other words, we just simplified this.
Yeah. I can guarantee everybody listening to the show that before you go to sleep tonight, you have an opportunity to experience grace.
Well, that's the whole point of sharing this, is to show you that maybe it's real for you to experience Him. And if you could say, well, I've really never experienced Him. If it's so real, then I'm going to open my heart to experience Him now.
If you're in your jammies and you're listening to the show,
yes,
and all you have to do is just turn the show off and close your eyes and go to sleep, you still have a multitude of opportunities before that to experience grace.
I believe so, too.
I got a text that says, enjoying your show, BJ, Jim and Ranger. Oh, no, it says Bob, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, AKA, you know what AKA stands for, right?
Yes.
Also known as,
also
known as Taylor. You know what I did?
What?
This woman is going to hate me. Taylor is going to hate me because guess what Dennis and Muriel are going to call her now?
Oh, no, Bob.
Bob. Christmas is around the corner. There'll be gifts under the tree that say, to Bob from Santa.
And it's not like they're the only ones that listen from Eau Claire.
That's right.
Oh, no.
So I've just ruined this young woman's life. Taylor,
sorry, Taylor,
is now Bob.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
B-O-B, at least it's easy to spell.
Yeah.
But but anyways, let's see if we got any emails. We don't. We're up to speed on emails.
You know what I found at the last few meetings that I thought was just so, so good? You know, when people come up, you know, for wanting to be ministered to or prayed for healing, whatnot. I've really been enjoying speaking with some of them and then just asking them questions, simple questions. So what's the difficulty? What's the problem? And then they'll tell you, say, well, what's the possibility? Maybe it's not as real as you think. Could it be possible? Well, yeah, I guess. And if it's possible, maybe you really don't have any pain, or maybe it's just disappeared. And today I just got a text from Brian Wright in Aldemira. Oh, I struggled to say that town too. But anyhow, in North Carolina, he said one of the people had a tumor and it just fell off. It just fell off. So the coolest thing is when people are open to even ask themselves the question, well, maybe it isn't what it was. I'm watching them get healed just by the question. See, it is that simple.
It is. It's simple, but it's not easy.
Now, we talked about that in Florida. Why don't you give your explanation of why that's so?
Well,
because I said some things there, and some of them are listening.
Okay. If we're born with grace, if Jesus' blood paid for our sins,
yes,
and all our sins are forgiven, and ask and you shall receive, we're all children of God, and there is a God, there are the guys, and there's no limits or boundaries to what grace, Christ, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can accomplish for you and in you and on your behest. Big word for a horseman.
Mm-hmm.
I can spell it. If this is all true, then that means that grace is real. And if grace is real, it means that anyone who is listening to this show right now already has it. And if you're 33 years old, you've had grace for 33 years. If you're 47 years old, you've had grace for 47 years. If you're 67 years old, you've had grace for 67 years. So, if someone says, why don't you acknowledge grace? Why don't you use grace? How easy is it if you've had it for your entire life? That's pretty simple. Very simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have it. It's simple. How hard is it? How simple is it for you to blink your eyes? How simple is it for you to take a breath? But how easy is it to blink your eyes if you've got your finger holding your eye closed? How hard is it to breathe if you're underwater? It's simple, but not easy. It's simple to have grace. It's just not easy because what circumstances are you in? What is in your life? What's in your mind? What's in your heart? What is on your to-do list? Because if the last thought before you go to bed is school or work, if the last thought before you go to bed is what you have to do in the morning, if the first thought you have when you wake up is that you hope that today isn't as bad as yesterday, if the first thing that's in your mind when you wake up is how much you have to do today, if the first thought in your mind when you wake up is how sick, how hurt, how much pain am I going to have today? I've got a very big piece of information for you. You're not connected with the guys. Because if your first thought in the morning is not of Christ and grace, if your last thought before you go to sleep is not the same, what is there that you can actually say that connects you to the guys? Where's your grace?
And the beauty about this is if he's just described you, then the simplicity is repentance is all that's necessary for you to all of a sudden immediately have grace in your life.
Repent means change directions.
Right.
No, you're going to the right. We don't turn to the right. You know it's down the left. Repent to the
that's
left.
Right. That's right.
Okay, we got a text here. It says, Jim, what was your explanation of easy and simple?
Oh, well, it's along the lines of how much religion and baggage you got in your life. And, for instance, simple is all about choice. Choice is very simple. I mean, people make choices all day long. In fact, you've made probably 1,000 choices today, and you've probably only been cognizant of maybe, let's just say, 25 or 50 of them, 25, 30, 40, 50 choices. In other words, you've been conscious of certain choices, a minimal amount compared to the overwhelming amount of choices that you've made just because it's a part of your routine, it's a part of your habit, it's the way you did it yesterday, it's the way you do it today. It's kind of like the assembly line thing. You just get so used to it until you do it without thinking. Okay. Well, choices are not hard to make. They're simple. What's not easy is how much of a routine that you have established where you've not used your brain. I don't mean that it's not engaged. I mean, one of my problems that I've always had as a pet peeve is not many people have original thoughts. They just let their mind just wander wherever. And so how much of your routine are you in where you just subconsciously just go about your way and the way that you go is not working for you? One of the guys had a wonderful testimony at the library, which we haven't mentioned yet, when he came up and said, since February, I had had pains, you know, in my shoulder and my neck. And he said, of course, I was praying as I always do all that time. He said, but today I finally got so tired of it. I just said to myself, maybe I really don't have a pain. Maybe it's not as real as I've been thinking that it is. Because why do I have to have something that's not real? And he said momentarily he was distracted to move his neck to the left, and then he snapped it back to the right, and he said he just had a moment where he goes, oh my God, I don't have any pain. It just left. And I told him, I said, well, that's a wonderful testimony. I said, but let's go back for a second. Do you remember what you said? You said, since February, you've had pain, and of course, you were praying as you always do. I said, how did those prayers work that you always did? And this is what he said to me. He said with tears in his eyes, I know, Jim, I know. But I've had 40 years of that. But I've learned, and I'm learning to stop doing that. And I said, look at your results you had today. See, it was simple. It just wasn't easy. It took him 6 months to figure out, maybe I don't have this pain.
Do you remember when I got that new wood stove? You know, the one you like?
Yeah.
Remember when I burnt my hand?
Yes.
And I said, look at the burn pattern on my hand.
Right.
And remember, you could see the burn pattern from the, you know what those were? The bricks.
Oh, okay.
That burn pattern was the pattern of the bricks in the wood stove.
Yeah, it looked like wrinkles almost.
Yeah, like circle little wrinkles.
Yeah.
And what I do, I rubbed it, and what happened?
Well, you said, well, that's good, but that's not good enough, and you rubbed it again. All right, that's better.
And what happened?
And it was gone.
The burn mark was gone. The skin was fine. The scarring, the black, you know, it was black. It was just gone. I rubbed it and I said, well, that's good, but this is better. And then I said what? I said, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
So many times we miss, as an individual, we miss the opportunity to say, thank you, Jesus. So many times we miss the opportunity to say, you know, Christ, I know you're right here. This is proof of it. So many times you miss the opportunity to say, now there goes grace. And so many opportunities are missed every day to say,
yeah,
well, that's the Holy Spirit and nothing else but.
Right.
Has it ever occurred that instead of spending every waking moment trying to find grace, to try to earn it, to deserve it, to seek it out, and to ask for its help? What if all of a sudden you woke up tomorrow and you just started thanking grace?
Yep.
You get out of bed and you turn the faucet on in the bathroom and water comes out. Just say, thank you, grace. You go to the bathroom and you flush and the toilet doesn't overflow. Just say, thank you, God.
Right.
Just literally start a new world, a new life tomorrow.
That's good.
Saying thank you for the smallest, most ridiculous of things.
Yes.
Because I'm here to tell you, the smallest and most ridiculous things are in your way.
Yeah.
Because if you get into a habit thanking grace, acknowledging grace in the most strangest, most unholy of places, like the bathroom, that what's going to happen is before you know it, you have a new habit, a Christ-like habit.
Sure.
Because when you start acknowledging grace before you really have to rely on grace, you're going to find that there's nothing to pray for.
Right.
Because there's never anything wrong.
Yeah.
You're doing it backwards.
Right.
It's just about perception now. This is what we're talking about. Because it has to be the way you look at it. It has to be perception.
Sure.
Because we've already admitted, Jim's got scripture to back it up, that we all have grace. We're all God's children. So then that means that we have to change the way we see ourselves. We have to change the way we look at ourselves. We have to change the way we see the world.
Right. Yeah, and my last comment tonight would be this. You know, we've touched the subject on being saved. And of course, we know the scripture says, "For by grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," Ephesians 2:8-9. But in case you're one that's sitting there questioning and pondering, you know, I wonder how saved I really am in one sense, because I know we come through the blood of Jesus, and I know there's a heart change, and our nature is changed with Christ coming into us, but that change is so real that we begin to experience God. And if you're sitting there saying, "I don't know that I've ever had that change," well, you know, it's as simple as just acknowledging, "God, I'm going to open my heart and my mind right now and let you bring that change." Because tonight can be a first moment in my life to really experience who you are. That salvation is about signing my name to anything. It's not just about being a part of a group. And yet, thank God for the family of God. But salvation to me tonight is individual. And I open my heart for you just to be real to me. And from here on out, there's nothing in my life that's more important than you. So I want to encourage you with that tonight, because there's no reason for someone that might be sad for just a moment thinking about this, for you not to begin to experience God instantly tonight. So Father, I pray for everyone that's listened to the radio show tonight, that you would bring encouragement and inspiration to their hearts, that they would recognize that their salvation is real and it's a connection with God. Lord, help them to see that it's talking with you and fellowshipping with you, and it's getting prayers answered, and it's recognizing how your influence is everywhere and how wonderful it is to have you with us at all times. So Lord, let eyes be open, let hearts be encouraged, and let everyone's choices be simple, even if not easy, and then experience God. We thank you for it. Amen.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a great subject. I like being able to really bring people to a place, because I do this myself, of just being very quiet for a moment and thinking. I think that we do people service if we can help people to eliminate the options, to eliminate the religious ideas, and have it become more absolute. And I think we did that tonight.
Think we were too tough? Did we say anything good or positive or happy?
Yeah, I think we said some things happy. I mean, we got Bob out of it, didn't we? I mean,
yeah, poor girl. She's, who knows how long her whole life has been spent calling, you know, Taylor, and now all of a sudden
it's Bob. Or
it's Bob now.
Yeah.
Let's see. If we are all suffering from disease, not made well, not healed, not restored to health, are we really saved in the true sense of the word?
Well, again, that goes back to
the whole show is about
how things, the word itself has been distorted so that we've lost the experience of having a relationship with God.
Now, look at this dog. She barks in the middle of the show, and
right.
Now she's out for the count.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not even going to say her name, but I just want to see if she wakes up, you know, for the end of the show, or
she's
sleeps.
Usually pretty sharp about timing.
I know, but she interrupted the show to bark.
Know. And she was antsy tonight.
She was for a while.
Yep.
All right. Are you going to be here next week?
I'll be here.
Folks, we want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. She just... Is that weird or what? She literally woke up when the music started.
Yeah.
But she can't hear the music. Well, no, she probably could. We got headphones on. Can you hear the music?
Not up, but her ears could pick it up.
Yeah, Ranger's got better ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're not as, her ears are clean. I cleaned them. Are your ears clean, Jim?
They are. I did.
There you go, folks. Isn't it nice to know Jim Hockaday's got clean ears?
I do.
I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. Tomorrow night, Hardesty Library.
It is.
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live. And we're having some 300 people a month.
You are?
Yep. Are hitting our Facebook page to listen to.
That's great.
Yeah. Yep. We have anywhere from 18 to something like 25 live, but 300 hits a month. That's pretty good.
We need something longer because we're still talking, and I have to keep pressing restart, and it sounds weird when I press restart.
Oh, really? You mean the music we're talking? Oh,
yeah, because okay. It's about, let me see here. I'll find something sooner or later, but we need something that's so that we're not rushed.
Okay.
There we go.
Good.
Yeah, we can see now we can talk and we don't have to worry about running out. Okay, so are you leaving town for anywhere next week?
No, I'm off this weekend, and the following weekend I'm going to Wisconsin.
You are? Eau Claire?
No, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Wow. Is Milwaukee bigger than Eau Claire?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
What's bigger, Eau Claire?
No, Milwaukee.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Eau Claire's real small.
You know who we didn't hear from?
Who?
We didn't hear from the South Pole.
Oh no, we didn't.
The weather's pretty cold. I saw the weather report for the South Pole today. My. It's really cold.
Hmm. Hmm.
Folks, we hope you enjoyed the show. There you go. It's a good way to end the show. Ranger, remember, dog spelled backwards.
Good night, everyone.